Blog Talk Radio. There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith again with you tonight with Mission from the Heart Radio. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him. Praise Him, all creatures here below. I am just so grateful and forever thankful that you have blessed this ministry with your listening ears tonight via the internet or live calling in tonight. It's just a blessing to have you draw close to the Lord in His Word and through this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio. I just can't stop thinking about the new year that has been brought upon us. And as we are 8 days in this new month, in a new year, it just delights my soul to be able to come to you again on this through this ministry with a message concerning a topic that we don't hear too much teaching on. And the message tonight is strictly concerning hell. Yes, I did say hell. And my topic tonight, or my lesson topic tonight, is what in hell do you want? What in hell do you want? And it's real. Some ask, is hell real? And most don't believe there is a hell. But the Bible teaches that hell is absolutely real and eternal, according to Matthew 25, verse 41. And it's an unquenchable fire, according to Matthew 3:12 and Mark 44 through 49. And according to Luke 16, there's a story that Jesus spoke about, verses 19 through 31, and it describes a place of torment and fire. So if you would get your Bibles out tonight and join me as we go through some verses concerning our lesson tonight, what in hell do you want? And this is, again, a personal look at yourself. Do a soul-searching of yourself and ask yourself this question: what in hell do I want? And I hope your answer is nothing. I hope your answer is nothing. And I, as I reflected on this lesson concerning hell, it really intrigued me. It really gave me some thought-provoking questions concerning my own life and concerning others in my life. And it made me really think about, in hell, do you want? So the question that came to mind is, are you willing to do what is necessary to keep from going to hell? What is necessary to keep from going to hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is a famous verse, John 3:16, that most could probably quote with their eyes closed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. And that is what is intriguing concerning this verse, concerning this topic, but have everlasting life. Now, everlasting life can be in heaven or in hell. So all that is necessary is just believe. Just believe that Jesus died on that cross for our sins. So what I want to do before I get in this lesson, before we journey through the passages, make sure that you have your pen, pencil ready, paper ready for note-taking, and your Bible ready to flip through some pages concerning what in hell do you want. And I hope that this lesson moves you to get right with God, to get right in your spirit, in your soul with God. And not only that, that it would move you to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ concerning hell to someone in your circle, someone in your family, someone in your life that needs to know that hell is real and it is eternal. So as John 3:16 teaches us that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life, we know that this eternal life speaks about heaven. But I want to come to you in this lesson concerning hell, which is eternal. Hell is real and is eternal. And before I go into great detail about hell, I want to read a passage out of Luke 16, and we're going to go into those verses. Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to start at verse 19. So again, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and flip to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to read starting at verse 19. Now, some of us are familiar with the story. Perhaps you've heard it taught and preached in from several different angles, but I want to read in the scriptures, and I want to focus on one particular area in this particular passage. So if you will, follow along in your Bible with me, and I'm going to read this from the NIV translation, and then I'm going to reread it from the New Living Translation. So if you will, follow along. Luke 16, starting at verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Lazarus' side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham from far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Then listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." And I want to focus your attention on verse 23. 23, 24, 25, and 28. 23. Let me reread this passage in the New Living Translation, because as I've said before in my teaching lessons, I enjoy having different translations to give me a deeper insight on the passages and the scriptures. So if you would get in the habit of having different resources, different translations, maybe a parallel Bible to where you would have the King James, the New King James, the NIV, and the New Living Translation, and even the Amplified Translation is a very good translation as well. So listen to what this passage says in Luke 16 in the New Living Translation. Verse 19, Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. His soul went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, 'Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames. And Abraham said to him, son, remember that during your lifetime, you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there. Then the rich man said, please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. The rich man replied, no, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God. But Abraham said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead. And I just thought, wow, even if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead. And I wanted to focus on the verses that I pointed out, verse 23, 24, 25, and 28. In those verses that we read, the rich man, or should I say the story that Jesus spoke about in this passage, clearly indicated that he was in a place of the dead. In the New Living Translation, a place of the dead, in torment, I am in anguish in these flames, dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. And then that's verse 24. And then it says in 20, it says, for I have five brothers and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. So my question was, in the beginning of our program, what in hell do you want? And if you really look at this passage, it teaches quite a bit. But as I read it in the New Living Translation, it just made it even more clearer for me. And I hope you too, as you listened and re-listened or even reread the passage, and how he spoke about you had with what you had while you were living and breathing on earth, talking about the rich man. He lived in luxury. He wore fine linen, purple, lived in luxury. He had everything he wanted. But somehow he didn't have everything he needed. But the contrast with what he had and with what the poor man had, some translations call him the beggar. The beggar had nothing. He had nothing. He waited at the gate of the rich man. The poor man named Lazarus laid waiting at the gate. And he longed for, he wanted desperately for the scraps of the rich man to fall from his table. And he would not even give him the scraps, the leftovers. Now, I hope you see this picture on how one with plenty did not give to one that was in need. All he wanted was the leftovers. Something about those leftovers. Don't throw out your leftovers. The leftovers can help somebody, if you know where I'm going. But as we look at the passage, Lazarus was in need, but the rich man didn't concern himself about Lazarus. And as we read down, they both died, 22. They both died. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. And we know where Abraham is, heaven. But the rich man also died. He wasn't carried by any angels. He was buried, and his soul, in verse 23, went to the place of the dead. That's just another name for hell. Went to the place of the dead. There in torment, another place, another name for hell, torment, he saw Abraham far in the distance. And then while he was in torment, he started requesting some things. Well, when you get to hell, it's a little too late to be making some requests. When Scripture teaches believers in Christ Jesus to make your petitions known, make them known unto God. Seek him at all times. He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, the rich man had all the desires of his heart, but he didn't have what he needed. The poor man didn't have all of the things that we so desire, but he did have what he needed. He may not have had plenty. He may have longed for the scraps or the leftovers, but he had what he needed. And as we read in this passage, according to verse 22, and I love the way it said the angels carried Lazarus off into the bosom of Abraham. And I love the way it says the rich man, he died, but he was buried. And his soul went to hell. And he shouted, and he asked for just a dip of water, just a drop of water from the fingertip. Now just imagine, a drop of water is supposed to quench his tongue, cool his tongue. He is in anguish. Hell is real. He says, I am in anguish, in these flames, eternal fire. The fire is not ever quenched. Even a drop of water from the tip of a finger would not quench his tongue in hell. And then he asked for his family to not come to hell, to not experience what he is experiencing. And when he asked of that, Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them already. Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. They know the law and the prophets. They know the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law. They've read. They can read. They know the prophets. And then he said, even if they won't listen to what the, what, even it says in verse 31 is where I am, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead. It's too late. Hardened hearts. Hearts that don't listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hearts that don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Hearts that won't confess that they are a sinner is what leads us to hell. But if I were to go on the street and ask random people, where do you want to go to, heaven or hell? Regardless of their faith, regardless of their salvation, would you want to go to heaven or hell? Most would say heaven. And you may get someone who might be a little comical or may want to kind of be a little clown in responding to that question. But as I said in the beginning, some ask, is hell real? And most don't believe there is a hell. But as scriptures teach us, there is a hell. Now, listen to what the scriptures say. So if you could get your pens ready, and we can't take this lightly as believers in Christ Jesus. We need to let people know that hell is real. So let me give you some scriptures that solidify this in the event that you may be asked about hell, or that you may be in a conversation with someone, or even hear conversations concerning whether hell is real or not. According to the scriptures, the punishment of the wicked, dead in hell, just as we've heard from the rich man, dead in hell is described throughout scripture as eternal fire. Now, Matthew 25:41, if you would, make note of that, Matthew 25, verse 41, talks about that. And we're going to read that particular passage. And it says, Matthew 25, 41. And it reads this way. And I'm going to read this in the New King James Translation. And it says, I can find my pages. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal ever into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil and his angels. Matthew 3:12 calls hell an unquenchable fire. Chapter 3, verse 12. Let's read that. And again, I'm in the same translation, and it reads this way. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gathering his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's Matthew 3, verse 12. And let's move on. Let's look at Mark 9, verses 44 through 49. It talks about a place where the fire is not quenched. And remember, in the passage, Luke 16, the rich man explained how he was in anguish. Fire is not quenchable. He thought that a drip of water from the fingertip would quench his tongue, cool off, and it does not. This is a place, according to Revelation 14, 10, and 11, that we do not want to go. People need to know. So let's look at Revelation 14, verses 10 and 11. Chapter 14, verse 10 and 11. And it says, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. There is no rest. Torment. Tormented with fire and brimstone, according to Revelation 14, verse 10 and 11. And then we know, if you flip over to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, Revelation 20, verse 10, it speaks about lake of burning sulfur, tormented day and night forever and ever also. And it says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. It just solidifies in Scripture that hell is real and eternal. The punishment of the wicked in hell is as never-ending as the bliss of the righteous in heaven. Jesus himself indicates that punishment in hell is just as everlasting as life in heaven. Now that's according to Matthew 25, verse 46. Forever, eternal, fury and the wrath of God. To be mindful that hell is punishment, torment, lasts forever and ever with no end. But in contrast to hell, to God be the glory, we have heaven. And I want to take a pause moment for this very moment and just pray for the person who may not know God, Jesus Christ, for themselves. I just have to do this in this ministry, at this program, because hell should not be taken lightly. And according to the rich man, he didn't want his brothers to experience what he's experiencing. He didn't want his family members to go to hell. And I just pray and hope right now that we are interceding for our family members, our loved ones, our children, our spouses. And our prayers can even stretch out to those that we work with, into our community, and even those that we don't know. For God did not mean for us to go to hell. But there is a hell for and his angels. And I want to take this moment right now to pray that all it takes is for you to believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins. And know that when you believe that you, according to John 3:16, will not perish but have eternal life. So let's pray. And if you, brothers and sisters who are listening to the program, if you would touch and agree with me at this very moment with bowed heads and prepared hearts to intercede in prayer for those who may be listening to this very program at this very moment that may not be saved. And they do not want anything in hell. And they want to go to heaven. So let's pray right now, if you would, with me. Oh, God, pray this prayer with me and prepare your hearts to receive. Oh, God, I am a sinner. I'm lost. I need to be saved. I know I cannot save myself. So right now, Lord, once and for all, right now, I trust you to save me. Please come into my heart. Forgive my sin. And make me your child. I give you my life right now. I will live for you as you give me strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you make this prayer your heartfelt prayer, God will hear you. He will save you from hell. Jesus has promised that. He will not turn away from anyone who comes to him in faith. He will make you a child of God if you will turn to him. And because you prayed that prayer, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Believe that he died on the cross for your sin, and know that the penalty of sin has been paid by his death, burial, and resurrection. that you will have eternal life. Now, that's the message, that we do not want anything in hell, but we want everything in heaven. So get into a Bible-believing church and find yourself to line up with a good Sunday school class and be discipled, that you would grow and go and become a branch that is a fruit-producing branch from the true vine. And know that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And I just wanted to make a rest and a stop there, that we not assume that everyone that listens to a Bible-believing, gospel-teaching program, that they are saved. And we are to do that with our children. We are to do that with our loved ones in our circle, that we be willing to extend the open door, that Jesus is knocking at the door of someone's life, that they not go to hell. And Scripture is very clear about it. So let's move on in our lesson concerning what in hell do you want? And as we know from the rich man, we don't want what he has received. Torment, fire and brimstone. We do not want what God has created for Satan and those fallen angels. But we do know, according to Scripture, that there are people who are in hell. For those who do not receive Jesus as Savior, death means everlasting punishment. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9 explain that. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9. This punishment is described in a variety of ways. Now, we've heard about the lake of fire. We've read about that in Luke. And of course, we've read about it in Revelation 20, just as we've read, it's also called outer darkness. Outer darkness, this hell that we don't want. Outer darkness. And it's also called a prison, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, 19. A prison. And when we read the passage in Luke 16, he was in a prison. You can't get out. This place of punishment, as we know, is eternal. Jude 1, verse 13, describes that as well. I mean, the Bible is a clear teaching tool for us to understand what in hell do we want? Nothing. Nothing at all. So let's look at Hebrew chapter 9. And let's go to Hebrew 9, verse 27. And let's see what it reads. It makes it clear, but we're going to read this particular passage. Hebrew chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. To die once, but after this, the judgment. To die once, but after this, the judgment. Makes it clear that everyone dies physically. And after that comes the judgment. Now, again, as a believer in Christ Jesus, if you find yourself as being in the house of faith and believing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God, a child of light, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. Because he took our just punishment, Jesus did. We need not to fear being separated from him. The judgment for unbelievers is still to come. And that's why we as children of light have much work to do. We have so much work to do. According to this Luke 10, verse 2, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. This lets me know that I have a greater work to do. You do too. Now I'm talking about those who call themselves Christ followers, children of God, children of light. We've got a great work to do. The harvest is plenty. And we don't want anybody to perish. God does not want anybody to perish. He said that in John 3:16. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And this is what we should desire for every body walking and breathing. And lead them to the light. And that's capital L-I-G-H-T, who is Jesus Christ. It's a work, and we will be rejected. But when we are rejected, shake the dust off your feet and keep moving. Move on to the next one. Just don't quit. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. That's Galatians 6 and 9. Maintain perseverance. That no one would perish. But to the one who rejects, according to Scripture, who rejects Jesus as their Savior, the place of torment will be there for them forever. Let's look at John, 1 John 3. Verse 2. And I hope that these verses, these passages, these scriptures are helping shed light in your heart and that we not become cold toward others that may not have with what we've accepted as our eternal life, salvation, and heaven. We can't become cold with the attitude of, I got mine, they need to get theirs. No, help them. We are God's instruments, his earthen vessels that he uses to draw others out of darkness into the light. So let's look at chapter 3, verse 2. And it reads this way. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. So we have a great work in front of us. Because we are children of God, we are to extend the love of Jesus Christ to the lost. That's our mission. And God gives us so many beautiful ways to do this. Some may be one-on-one. Some may be in prayer. Some may be at church, in Sunday school with children, preaching, teaching, small groups in the home. And some may be a good listener. And they know how to turn them to the Lord as well. Just be available. As I look at heaven being opposite of hell, heaven is our home. As we journey through this barren land that we call earth, we want to steer the lost to our home, heaven, and pray and hope that you become an instrument of God, that you are his hands and feet, that you are his mouthpiece, that you would be ready, willing, and able to extend the hand of salvation to someone, them not go to heaven. Now, again, it's up to the individual, but when God says to you, me, and those who are available for his work, well done, my good and faithful servant, I tell you, that would be the best thing to hear from our Father. According to Scripture, well done, my good and faithful servant. The Bible talks about how hell was created for Satan and the wicked angels who rebelled. We know that. But also, there are people, as I explained, in hell. Let me go to Matthew 25. I believe we read Matthew 25:41. If not, let's go there, Matthew chapter 25, and let's look at 41. And I just want us to have some clarity concerning this place of torment, hell. Matthew 25:41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Both angelic beings and human beings are in hell for the same reason. And what reason is that? Sin. They chose not to believe and accept Jesus as their Savior. They don't go to hell because of Adam's sin. They go to hell because of their own sin, which they freely chose. I pray again tonight as we wrap up this program, what in hell do you want? And I hope you answer that question. I don't want to go to hell, and I don't want anything in hell. There is nothing in hell that I desire. And if you answer that question just as I replied, I pray and hope that you would enlighten someone else concerning this place, torment, hell. It is real and it is eternal. So this brings us to the end of this program. And I am so grateful that you listen week after week, that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been exposed in your heart and expounded and explained in mind, that it would move you, propel you, encourage you, and excite you to extend the good news of Jesus Christ to somebody that is willing to listen to you concerning eternal life, and that's heaven. Thank you for listening to Mission from the Heart Radio. Next program, we are going to start a study, a series on the book of Hebrews. So I truly hope that you come prepared, ready for richness, to be exposed for nuggets, to be expounded and explained, and you come with a hunger and a thirst to receive what God has for you concerning the book of Hebrews and what it teaches to you. And my special guest, of course, we are very familiar with Pastor Michael Crow. He has had a yearning to want to walk us through this beautiful book of Hebrews that we receive what the Lord has for us. So come ready, come hungry to this beautiful banquet table. On next Thursday, we will be teaching a series through the book of Hebrews. So I want to thank you again for being faithful to this program, but not Mission from the Heart Radio, but faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is faithful to you and me. God bless, and remember that the grass withers and the flowers fadeth, but the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. God bless you. Stay faithful. And I pray that you will return to Mission from the Heart Radio. And good night.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.